Let everybody say amen.
Amen.
Just over in the glory land. I understand it might be a little bit chilly in here this morning, so bear with me this morning. I'll try to break this in half and get you out of here so that you won't be too uncomfortable. But we must take a few moments to give God His just and proper dues. So let us give God His honor and His glory, and we'll get you through this if you just bear with me. The scripture was read for your hearing from the 23rd chapter of the book of Luke, starting with verse number 33 and continuing with verse 34. We'll reread that shortly, but first things, let us go to God in prayer. Thank you, Almighty Father, which art in heaven. Thank you for this day that we have been privileged to be a part of. Thank you for this congregation here currently together, Lord. We stand for the spirit and truth of your teachings, O Lord. And we pray and ask you to be with this congregation this morning, be with its leadership, their families, be with its membership, their families, and be with those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. Father, which art in heaven, we thank you for your Son, for he went up on yonder's cross that we may have this opportunity this morning. Thank you for everything, Lord, and it is in your Son Jesus' name that we pray and ask it all. Let us all say amen.
Amen.
This morning from that 23rd book of Luke and the 33rd verse, we're going to take for a message the cross of Christ. The Bible says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment, and cast lots. The message for today is not a new message, because every time that we need to go to, when we think about the Lord, we must think about His cross as well. We're here to serve the person of the cross as well as think of the cross. Many claim to know Jesus, but some don't know of the cross. To those who are Christians, most know the power of the cross. It is to those who know not Christ and His cross that we this morning would like to speak to for a few moments. And as I said, I'll probably stumble a bit because I'm going to be cutting as I go. So bear with me this morning as we go into our message. First thing we want to talk about is the place of the cross. It is always good to know where something or someone started from. And that's good so that you'll get a history or an idea of where you're going. In the case of the cross, it was a place called Calvary or Golgotha or the place of a skull. In the text, in verse number 33, we find that the Bible says once again, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. It was a place called Calvary, and we need to understand that Calvary's cross is what we honor and what we look at this morning as we serve the God of spirit and of truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. In the book of John, as bad as the event that was going to take place on Golgotha's Hill or on Calvary, if you will, John tries to beautify it, and he does beautify it in a sense. In chapter 19, in verse number 41 and verse number 42, he tells us that there was a garden, and in that garden was a new tomb, if you will. And because no man had ever been laid there before Jesus, who was about to be laying in there. How sweet it is that we too should be willing to give our very best for the Lord. And because it was this place that we need to know about today. So remember, each and every day of our lives, we must remember the cross. The term or name of the place of a skull as described because it was by a mountain that was in the shape of a skull. It was truly a place of despair, a place where history was made in the lives of mankind. For it brought humiliation and both humiliation and joy. Humiliation because it was along with two criminals on either side of him that Jesus was placed, his cross was placed. Joyful because victory was about to be won for all mankind. For all Christ and would be finally reunited with his Father soon after this. Note this prayer in his prayer in John chapter 17, starting as in particular at verse number 4 and number 5, where he both submits his statement of accomplishment and he asks the question or he makes the statement to his Father. In verse number 4, he says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work you gave me to do. And then in verse number 5, he asked of his Father to allow him to be in his presence once again. Isn't it wonderful that we can petition our Father as well, that we may be able to meet him in heaven one day? Won't it be wonderful? We sing the song often. Won't it be wonderful there? Won't it be wonderful to state our records before a just God one day? It's going to be glorious in a glorified heaven, church, when we can state our record before the judgment seat. So we found out where the place of the cross is. Let us look for a few moments just at the person of the cross. In the text of Luke chapter 23 and verse number 33 again, the Bible says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the male factors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Jesus is not called by name in verse number 33. The Bible said they crucified him, but we ought to know that him is certainly Jesus. In the Christian world, everyone knows that it was Jesus who was crucified. It's Jesus who we serve today. It's Jesus and his Father which are in heaven that we must look to the heavens for our help today. It was he who was alive, crucified, buried, and got up from his grave. He was nailed to the cross, and yet no help came to him. No one to rescue him. No angels came to tend to his pain and sorrow. He had been betrayed by one of his own in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 4 by Judas. Denied by another one, Peter in Matthew chapter 26 verse 69 and 70. Forsaken by others in Mark chapter 14 and verse number 50. He even felt abandonment by his Father which is in heaven. So much that he cried out in Matthew 27 and verse number 46. He cried out, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? The suffering of Jesus, it all began even before the cross. It began even before the actual crucifixion. He suffered much, church, all for us. He suffered ridicule of the people. He suffered the ordeal before Pilate. And then to be placed between two criminals brought much humiliation. Even though these two ordinary criminals deserved to be whatever, they deserved the punishment that they were about to receive, Jesus did not, but yet he was placed in the same and numbered among those two as well. In John chapter 3 and verse number 16, he did all of this because he loved us. We were given, God loved us, so he gave to the world his only begotten Son. He had to endure the conversation of these two criminals. For as they were under the sentence of death, so had God been placed under the sentence of death. For this God has asked of us to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37. And the other part of the love equation, it can be found in John 13 and 34 as well. We must love one another as Christ has loved us. And I'll tell you, church, I wish I had enough time to go through this all in depth, but this is going to be one of the cause of gate trouble for some of us. Some of us are going to have a problem when it comes to loving one another. There's going to be some problems getting in the gate because you didn't love somebody. And I don't mean the kind of love. You don't have to bake me a pecan pie or a chocolate cake or apple pie to show me you love me. But if you do, that's fine too. But all the same, you must just love one another. And I can't emphasize that enough. I've spoken many times about loving one another. And you know why? Because some of us, and I don't mean necessarily here in the congregation, but many of us don't love like we ought to. Oh yeah, you love your spouse, you love your children, you love your family, but do you love your church family? Do you consider your church family to be a part of your family? And if you don't, you should. But sometimes we just can't get that part together. We like to pick and choose who we love and how we love them. We like to talk about, I know that I love my brother and my sister, but we don't like to show that I love my brother and my sister. We are to love one another according to verse number 35 of John 13. He pushes it a little further and he says, by this all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. And then in Matthew chapter 22 and verses 37 and 38, it tells us, it started there, but it tells us that this is the first and greatest commandment is to love God. And the second one is like it, love thy neighbor as thyself. Not the person that lives next door to you. That's not your only neighbor. That's not the only neighbor. Love the person that you stand on the bus stop with. Love the person that you meet with every Sunday morning and sometimes it goes into Sunday afternoon because you may decide to socialize with them. Love that person as well. We can't get around it, church. We just cannot get around loving. So as I close that portion and go to the next portion, the power of the cross. There has always been and always will be power in the Word of God, including the power of His cross. Through the blood of Christ came the power of redemption in Christ Jesus, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24. There is power in the blood of Christ. There is power, Ephesians 1 and chapter 7 of Chapter 1 and verse 7 tells us we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. And let me tell you something, church. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 12, it comes even plainer. It becomes even plainer. It says, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. So I want you to understand something here. He entered in only once into the holy place. He doesn't have to make a yearly pilgrimage to be with the Father like some like to call that we need to have a pilgrimage every year. He went into heaven just one time. The cross has the power to separate those who would not stand for Christ from those who will stand for Christ. The cross has the power to inspire. It can inspire all of us to stand on the Word of God, if you will. The cross has the power over death and the grave as well. Do you think for one moment, that we do not owe a debt of gratitude to Jesus? If you think about it, do you owe Jesus anything? I think we all do. I think we all owe Him a debt of His love for us. Can we not show Him that we care enough to love Him and then to love one another? Remember His plea from the cross in verse number 34. Watch what it says. It says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. A forgiving plea even in the face of death. So I ask the question this morning, why must we live like the inhumane race instead of the human race? Why can't we learn to be tolerant of one another and look above each other's difference and simply love one another as the Word tells us to do? None of us are going to get into heaven if we don't first learn to love down here. We're never going to make it up there if we don't start down here. And I don't mean we have to once again bake the cookies and the pies if you don't want to, but we must learn that love and loving one another means that we'll put up with your shortcomings. We'll put up with your indifferences. We'll put up because I don't like you because I don't like what you wear all the time. You don't have to like what I wear. That's not a reason not to love me because you don't like what I wear. Maybe you don't like my shoes because my shoes don't look as good as yours. Well, maybe your foot is bigger, and maybe it shows more shoe than my feet does. But that's not a reason not to love me. Maybe you don't like me because my hair is not as straight as yours. Or maybe because it's a different color than yours. And I'll tell you something, if you live long enough, yours will get the same color as mine. And I tell you something, church, we've got to learn that we've got to love one another no matter what, in spite of what, and no matter which way we want to think, we must love. We've got to learn to change our ways before we get to death's door. We've got to learn to change our ways before we die. Do you all remember in Luke chapter 16 about the rich man and Lazarus, how that he wanted to change after he died? Well, you can't change after you die. The change must come before you die. And as I bring this to a close, as I promised you, I will only be just a few minutes. As I bring this to a close, we've got to understand that once death has come upon us, once we have finished living this life on this earth, and we cannot come back anymore, and we cannot do anything that we intended to do while we were alive, we must try to do it while we are living. I can't go back and change anything after I'm dead. I can't go back and make anything new that was old already. I cannot bring back any love for you from the grave. I can only do it while I'm alive and while I'm here. And I must learn that love cures a multitude of sin. I must learn that Jesus Christ went up on yonder's cross. I must accept the fact that He died to save me and to save you. I must accept the fact that Jesus didn't have to die, but the Scriptures dictated in prophecy in the Old Testament said that He was going to die, and those Scriptures had to be fulfilled. So as we learn to accept one another, as we learn to live with one another, as we learn to be thankful for one another, we must also love one another. And praying every day will bring us closer to that goal. If we pray and ask God in faith, God will answer prayer. He's subject to answer. He may not answer your prayer, but God is subject and able to answer prayer if you allow Him to. But I know there are some folk who say, well, I prayed last week. I don't need to pray this week. Well, you need to pray every day. You need to pray all day, every day. Now, I don't mean driving down the street, closing your eyes and praying and running into me. Not that kind of prayer. You can pray with your eyes open. You just pray. You pray before you hit the street. You pray after you get on the street. And you pray while you're driving or walking down the street. Just pray all the time. Didn't the Bible tell us to pray without ceasing? That's what we ought to do. And we must learn to love one another no matter what and above all else. And remember the cross. This morning, if you're not a member of the body of Christ, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you have been a member, you have been baptized, and you are a member, but you've walked astray, you can come forward as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.